Okay, welcome back. We're going to go ahead and get started with the second part of this student competition for the President's Prize. First up after the break, we have Tobin Northfield presenting the Shadow of Niche Partitioning on Resource Consumption. And Tobin is from Washington State University. And let me remind the speakers, please repeat the questions that are asked from the audience. That way it'll be recorded and viewed later.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about biodiversity and resource consumption and how to identify some of the mechanisms that kind of lead to that relationship. So in general, when you have increases in biodiversity, you find increases in ecosystem functioning. This was especially shown by Cardinale et al. In a meta-analysis they ran, where they found, you can see on the x-axis their species richness, and when you increase the species richness, you find an increase in ecosystem functioning. And the specific ecosystem function I'm going to be talking about today is pest suppression, and especially in biologic control systems. So there are three main mechanisms that can lead to this biodiversity ecosystem functioning relationship. The first is synergism, where you have positive interactions between species. Next, you have niche partitioning, where different species provide different ecosystem functions. And finally, you can have a release from intraspecific interference. So this occurs when there's intraspecific interference is stronger than interspecific interference. All right, so then there's three major classes of designs to identify this biodiversity ecosystem functioning phenomenon. The first is additive studies. In this case, you keep the density of a single species constant, and then you add or subtract different species into the design. And then this allows you to test for species additivity. In other words, do the species effects interact with each other? Is there a significant interaction? Then the second design is a substitutive analysis. And in this experiment, you keep the overall density constant. And then what you're varying is the species ratios in the study. And this allows you to test for diversity per se. In other words, when you keep overall density of the consumers constant, does the more diverse group perform better than the single species or the low diversity groups? And finally, you have the response surface design. In this experiment, you manipulate both density and diversity at the same time. And this allows you to have nested both additive and substitutive designs. So you can test for species additivity and test for diversity per se, as well as do some of the new analyses that I'm going to be talking about today. All right, so to really describe the analysis, I'm using some data collected by another graduate student in the lab, Gretchen Snyder. And so I have to acknowledge that she was actually the one who collected the data I'm going to be talking about. And she used a collared system with two species of aphids and four predators. So this is the design, experimental design that she used. She has, let's see here, she's got the five different densities of each species by themselves. And then she has four different substitutive designs. So you've got these treatments, single species treatments, each of four individuals, and that corresponds with the high diversity treatment with four individuals in total. So then the additive designs are in the colored branches. So you've got two individuals in the single species treatments, and that corresponds with this high diversity treatment where you have two individuals of each species. So she ran the experiment two times. The first time she had 20 aphids per plant, and then the second time she had 10 aphids per plant. She conducted the experiment in Othello, Washington, counted the aphids for 31 days, and used these large 2 meter by 2 meter by 2 meter cages. Oops. Fast forward there. Okay. So the basic idea of the analysis that I'm talking about is the multiplicative risk model. This was proposed in 1988 by Salk and Collins. And the basic premise is you predict the number of aphids surviving in the presence of predator 1 and predator 2. And you do that by multiplying the probability of surviving predator 1 times the probability of surviving predator 2. Now the assumption here is that all prey are available to all predators. And then C. et al. In 1998 said, well, you can actually log transform the data and then run an additive ANOVA on the data and you get the same result. So the basic premise is, here you see these graphs at the bottom here. There we go. All right, so you see this decrease, the slope in the raw data, aphid density and predator density. And then when you log transform the data, you get this nice linear curve. And that's what we're going to be using to do some of the analysis. All right, so the basic idea is we've got two different predictions that we expect depending on the mechanisms that are causing those. And we're using the we had those three low density, low diversity treatments of 2, 4, and 8, and we're using them to create this, the black line, which is the predicted line, and then we can create these other lines that are based on the observed results of the densities of 8, 16, and 32, either of the diverse treatments or the single species treatments. And if there's niche partitioning or facilitation, you wouldn't expect any difference in the single species treatments. So you see the dotted line, which is the single species treatment on the left, follows right along the predicted line. However, when you have facilitation or niche partitioning, you would expect a increased performance in the high diversity treatment, so the slope of that line is going to be steeper and you'll have increased performance. On the right, you've got this release from intraspecific interference. And so the high diversity treatment just falls right along the predicted line, but the single species treatments will begin to diverge away from the line as you get this stronger interference with increased densities. All right, so it's important to point out that in a substitutive design, if we were to conduct that, you're only conducting one density. So you can't tell the difference between the, all you're looking at is comparing the high diversity treatment to the low diversity treatment. So you can't tell if that's because the high diversity treatment is doing exceptionally well, or if it's because the low diversity treatment is doing exceptionally poorly. Similarly, with an additive design, all you're looking at is comparing the high diversity treatment to predicted. So if there's a release from intraspecific interference, you wouldn't expect to see any significant difference, because you're not taking into account you're not testing for diversity per se. You're not evaluating the single species treatments at that density, so you'd miss out on interesting things are going on there. All right, so now these are the results. In block one, you can see the high diversity treatment here with the confidence intervals is significantly lower than predicted, and this suggests facilitation or niche partitioning. But what you also see is this observed monoculture or single species treatment is significantly higher than predicted. So we have evidence of interference occurring as well. Now in the block two, remember this is the treatment, this is the block where we started off with half the aphids. So there's much higher predator-prey ratios in this block. And you see that in the single species treatments, you still have this strong interference competition. But now you have this diversity by density interaction that's occurring in the diverse plots. And so in the low densities, you have this super additive effect. And then when you get to these higher densities, the diverse group is actually worse than predicted. So our hypothesis about this is that at these really high densities, really high predator-prey ratios, you're actually even picking up some of this interference that's occurring in the diverse treatments as well. So in conclusion, we found super additive prey suppression, and this can be either due to niche partitioning or facilitation. We found a release from intraspecific interference, and this intensifies the prey suppression at these diverse communities. And then finally, in this block two, we found a density by diversity interaction. So we found that interference at high, our hypothesis is that this is due to interference at high predator-prey ratios in the diverse group. So with that, I'd especially like to thank Gretchen Snyder, who allowed me to analyze her data, and my advisor, Bill Snyder, and everyone else in our lab and our funding source, and ask for any questions. Thanks.